Well, good morning, everyone.
I hope everyone is doing well today. I'd like to remind everyone that we are in the middle of a sermon series through the book of James that is called Wisdom from Above. Again, in this letter, the writer is James, and he is talking about wisdom from God, receiving wisdom from God for how we can live a life of loyalty and a life of devotion to God. So far, throughout this whole sermon series, you have seen that this book of James is a very practical book. You know, we saw wisdom from God on how we are to respond to our trials, how we are to respond to our temptations, how we are to become doers of God's word, and then last week we talked about not showing favoritism to other people. So far, from all these things that we talked about in the book of James, you can tell that it emphasizes a lot on the practical things. It emphasizes on a lot of works, and it emphasizes on a lot of deeds. It emphasizes so much that it doesn't seem to put too much on faith. Now, because of this emphasis, did you know that there was a very famous theologian who actually hated the book of James? I know. How could someone, like a theologian, hate the book of James? Well, this man, his name was Martin Luther. And he had actually called James like the epistle of straws. And he didn't even believe that it should be like a part of the canon in scripture. Like, he wanted to like rip the book of James out of the scriptures. Now, that's how much he didn't like the book of James, because of the emphasis more on works over faith. So as you know, Martin Luther, he was one of the scholars, the priests, theologians who had started the Protestant Reformation against the beliefs of the Roman Catholic Church. So on October 31st, 1517, so 501 years ago, he approached the door of the Church of Wittenberg in Germany, and he nailed a piece of paper in front of it containing 95 theses. And these statements spoke out against the beliefs of the Roman Catholic Church. It spoke out against priests asking for indulgences for the forgiveness of people's sins. It spoke out against the belief that you have to do a lot of good works to earn your way into heaven, to earn eternal life. And it also spoke out against the Roman Catholic Church having essentially more authority than the Bible. So this was a very important moment in Christian history, the Protestant Reformation. And one of the statements that emerged from this Reformation is called sola fide. It's a Latin phrase that means by faith alone. We are saved by our faith alone in Jesus Christ and not by works. So you see, Martin Luther did not believe and did not agree with the Roman Catholic Church on in addition to faith in Jesus Christ, you need to have good works to earn your way into heaven. So from this perspective, you can understand why Martin Luther didn't really like the book of James. Again, because James seems to emphasize a lot on works, a lot on good deeds over faith. So the question that we want to ask is, what is the relationship between our faith in Jesus Christ and good works and good deeds? Is it really true that only by faith in Jesus Christ alone that we can be saved? Or is the Roman Catholic Church right where we have to earn our way into heaven by doing good works? You know, some people get this idea that, you know, God at the end of your life, he judges you with this divine scale. On one side is your good works, on one side is the evil works. And if you do more good things than bad things, then God will see you as a good person and let you in heaven. No, Martin Luther didn't believe that. And I believe like the Bible doesn't teach that as well. So again, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that we as Christians shouldn't do any good works. So what is the relationship between our faith and doing good works? So we'll explore that today as we continue on in our sermon series through James. If you have your Bibles, please take them out. Turn with me to the book of James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and we are focusing from verses 14 to 26. Again, James is the half-brother of Jesus. He is a leader in one of the churches that oversees Jewish Christians. And he addresses a lot of practical matters about having wisdom from God to be loyal and devoted to him. So James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. Please follow along as I read. James says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says that he has faith, but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and is lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, and be warmed and be filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also by faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Verse 18. "But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness.' And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, again, another Sunday we have to come before you to hear from your word. Father, I pray that you would teach us more about who you are. Teach us of how we are supposed to act in relationship with our faith to you. Lord, what is it? Is it faith more important, or is it works more important? Or are they both important? What is the relationship between our faith and works? Lord, help us to see how we are to live and be loyal and devoted to you from this. Father, we lift up all these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. Okay, so as we have read from this passage, we are going to be answering one main question today. So this is the question: what is the relationship between faith and good works? Okay? What is the relationship between our faith in Jesus Christ and good works? And we'll see that there are three different types of relationships that come out of this. So first, just a quick definition. We define faith simply as your belief in Jesus Christ. And then we define good works as anything that you do to love God and to love others. Okay? So love God and love others. So what is the relationship between those two? The relationship between your faith in Jesus Christ and how you are to love God and love others. So let's begin from verse 14. James begins this passage by saying, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him?" So James begins by saying that, okay, let's say that there is someone who claims that they have faith in Jesus Christ, but then this person doesn't do any good works at all. He doesn't want to serve. He doesn't want to help other people. He doesn't see the need to obey God and his word. No, essentially he's saying, oh, I got my faith in Jesus. I'm all set for the rest of my life. I already know that I'm going to go to heaven. I don't need to do anything else, and I can just enjoy the rest of my life. So someone may have that type of attitude. They have faith in Jesus Christ, but they don't serve. They don't do any good works. So I guess like this is describing that how some people may think, oh, faith is just like a substitute for obedience. You know, faith is more important. I don't need to obey God. And like I know that there are also some people who would think, oh, I can just wait until the end of my life to believe in Jesus. Okay, maybe on my deathbed, then I'll put my faith in Jesus Christ. I know I'll go to heaven, I'll be saved, and then I don't have to do any good works and enjoy that. No, some people may think that way as well. But you see, to highlight the absurdity of just having faith in Jesus Christ without doing good works, James goes on and he gives a hypothetical situation, but actually could happen in reality. Continue on with me. Read from verse 15. James goes on and says, "If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, What good is that? So James highlights the absurdity of having faith in Jesus Christ, but then not doing good works. Let's say there's someone who is poor, someone doesn't have food to eat, doesn't have clothes to wear, and then you're like, oh, that's so sad, I hear ya. You know what? God bless you. I will pray for you. You know what? If I were you, I would go get some food. I'll go get some clothes to wear. Yeah, that's what I'll do if I were you. No, go on. See you later. I'll see you next week. You know, if we act like that towards other people, you know, we have faith in Jesus Christ, but then if we don't help other people, we don't have that good works, then, you know, James asks here at the end, what good is it? What good is that? Actually, around this time, there was a family in our church who had suffered from, basically their apartments in Troy went completely up in flames. They were sleeping, and then all of a sudden, like in the middle of the night, they heard knocking on like their door, and someone telling them to get out of the house because the apartment was on fire. So the whole apartment was burnt down. Even fortunately, later on, they went back. They were able to salvage some clothes and some important documents. But what if that happened in our church, and it did, and no one in our church reached out to this family to help them? No one provided food for them. No one provided clothing. Then, again, what good is that? What good is our faith? But thankfully, our church isn't like that. As a church member, we loved and we cared for them. We provided them with their needs until they can get back up on their feet again. But again, James is focusing on this word. What good is it? What good is that? He says that twice. He says that at the end of verse 16, and he also says that at the very beginning of verse 14. What good is it? If someone claims to have faith in Jesus Christ, but then doesn't do good works. And then he goes on and he asks in verse 14, can that faith save him? So James questions the salvation of someone who says he has faith in Jesus Christ, but then doesn't have any good works. Now, think about it this way. On the surface, it almost suggests that, oh, this person's faith isn't enough to save him. And on the surface, it seems to suggest that in addition to faith, you need to have good works. So again, on the surface, if you read it just like that, you may be led to believe that. But is this really what James is saying? And you can begin to see why Martin Luther, this famous theologian, the person who started the Protestant Reformation, would be so angry at the book of James. And I think it's a little bit more about like a misunderstanding about what it says. No, again, Martin Luther was triggered by how the Roman Catholic Church was believing that, oh, you need to have works in addition to faith to be saved. And Luther, he knew what the Apostle Paul said. Romans chapter 3, verse 28, the Apostle Paul says, for we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Apart from the works of the law. So the Apostle Paul is saying that your faith in Jesus Christ alone saves you, brings you salvation, not by your works. And we believe this. Martin Luther believed that. So is there a contradiction between what the Apostle Paul says and what James says here? And no, I don't think that there is a contradiction. And in a sense, I believe that James would agree with the Apostle Paul that you just need faith in Jesus Christ to be saved. But here in this passage, James is making a different point. First, James is saying that between faith and works, those two things are not mutually exclusive. So meaning, oh, if you have one, it doesn't mean that you can't have the other. No, this is why we're talking, we're exploring the relationship between faith and good works. Now second, James is not adding works to faith as a requirement to salvation. So the equation is not faith plus works equals salvation. No, James is not saying that. But rather, James is arguing that good works are the evidence of true saving faith. So in other words, the proof of saving faith is in your good works. So if you put it in this way, if faith, then by necessity, you will have good works. So if you have true saving faith, then by necessity, you should have good works. So let's answer our question. What is the relationship between faith and good works? Here's the first point. Good works are the resulting evidence of our saving faith. Good works are the resulting evidence of our saving faith. So there once was a group of engineering professors, and they were invited to go fly on a very special plane. So these professors, they gather, they get on this plane, and after they were comfortably seated on this plane, they were then informed that this plane was built by their own engineering students. And you can imagine what happened. All these professors, they started running. They were like, I'm getting out of here. And they were really like panicking, and they ran right off the plane. Everyone did that except for one lone professor. And then this professor was asked, why did you stay put? Why did you stay on this plane? And this is what the professor said. I have plenty of confidence in my students. Knowing them, I, for fact, can assure you that this plane will never even start. So if you think about it, you know, most of these engineering students, the engineering professors, they had faith that they would actually die if they stayed on the plane, okay? And this faith was evidenced by the fact that they ran off of that plane and they got out of there. And at the same time, for this one lone professor, he stayed and he had faith that this plane wouldn't start. And he evidenced this faith by staying there. And I think you can say that both, all the professors, whether it's that lone professor, whether it's the rest of them, they didn't have faith in their students at all, okay? So the way that they acted also reflected that. So our actions or our works or our good deeds reflect or show the evidence of the faith that is in us. You see, it wouldn't make sense for the professors to believe that they will die on the plane and then for them to remain sitting in the plane. See, their works, their actions doesn't reflect that faith. Well, at the same time, it also wouldn't make sense for the one lone professor to believe that the plane wouldn't start and then yet still want to leave that plane. Our works, our actions reflect the faith that it is in us. So likewise, it wouldn't make sense for someone to truly have faith in Jesus Christ, to truly believe in him, and then yet not do good works as the evidence of that faith. It wouldn't make sense at all. So that's why in verse 14, James has asked, can that faith save him? And James is saying that without good works as evidence, then the faith that someone claims to have, is it even real or is it even genuine in the first place? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. Some of you are familiar with this verse from the scripture memory competition. But it says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So this passage is essentially saying that we are not saved by our good works, but rather, we are saved to do good works. We are not saved by our good works, but rather, we are saved to do good works. Again, our question, what is the relationship between faith and good works? Number one, good works are the resulting evidence of our saving faith. So James moves on and he presents a hypothetical person who would oppose him in verse 18. Read there with me. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. So hypothetically, James is saying, oh, let's say that there's someone in my church who says this, hint, hint, Joe or Bob or whatever his name is. I don't know. So he's probably referencing to someone in the church who may say, hey, I think there's a distinction between faith and works, and I think they can be separate. But how does James respond to this person? In the rest of verse 18, he says, show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So essentially, he's saying to this person who would say, oh, show me, prove it. You say that you have faith, but prove it to me that you have this faith without doing works. It seems kind of impossible. Well, whereas for me, I will show you my faith according to my works. Let's say that there's someone, and I ask this person, do you trust in this chair? You know, this chair, it's made of steel. It will hold you up, you know, and when you sit on it, you'll know that it will hold you. You won't fall off of it. It won't break on you. Do you have faith in this chair? And let's say this person will claim to have this faith and say, yeah, I believe that. I have faith that this chair will hold me up. And then I'll be like, okay, why don't you sit in this chair? Come on, why don't you sit in this chair? And they're like, I don't know about it. You know, I sort of had a bad experience of chairs before. I sort of like fell over. It sort of snapped on me. Maybe I was too heavy. I was like, oh, but you said that you trust in this chair. You have faith in this chair. Why don't you sit down? And they still refused to do that. So essentially, this is the same picture that we see here. This person would say, oh, I have faith. I don't need works. But James is saying, if you do have faith, then prove that you have faith. Show me that you have faith by sitting down. So essentially, God is inviting each and every one of us, if we have faith in him, to have a seat. Or in other words, if you truly have faith in Jesus Christ, evidence it. Show it according to your faith. And then James goes on and he gives another argument. Verse 19. You believe that God is one, and you do well. But even the demons believe, and they shudder. So you may claim to have faith, but you may believe in the right doctrine. You may believe that there's one God. That's good. But then even the demons believe that. Even demons believe that there's one God. But the difference between a true Christian and a demon is that a Christian would do good works to evidence that faith. So that's why twice James refers to faith without works as being dead faith. Verse 17, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So he's saying faith minus works equals dead faith. He says the same thing in verse 26 at the end. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Now, what does it mean to have dead faith? It doesn't necessarily mean that your faith is non-existent, but rather, like this Greek word can also reference as faith that is dormant, faith that is sleeping, rather than, basically at this point in time, it is not doing the good works. So again, what is the relationship between faith and good works? Good works are the resulting evidence of our saving faith. So is your faith sleeping, or is it your faith dead, or not, like dormant right now? No, you say that you have faith in Jesus Christ, but maybe for some of us, we don't see that we are serving. We don't see that we feel the need to help other people. We don't see the need to obey God in his word. I encourage you, evidence the faith that is in you by showing good works. And as you do this, know that you're not doing these good works because you're trying to earn your way into heaven, to earn your salvation. Because that's not how it works. That's not true. Rather, you're doing them because you have already been saved. Because you already have faith in Jesus Christ. So if you find yourself not having the need to go out and do good works, then have some time to reflect upon it. Is your faith just dormant? Or maybe you need a question, is your faith in Christ real in the first place? I encourage you to think and pray about that so that we can know how we can act towards that. Let's continue on. So James, then he continues by talking about, he gives two examples of two people who have shown their faith, who has evidenced their faith with their works. So he talks about Abraham, and then he also talks about Rahab. So these two people. So starting from verse 21, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? So I know that some of you are familiar with this story, but if not, in Genesis chapter 17, you know, God had made a covenant with Abraham. You know, he had promised Abraham that he would be given a son as an heir. And through that heir would come many people, would come many descendants who would become a great nation, known as the nation of Israel. And through the nation of Israel, God will be able to not only bless them, but also be able to bless the whole world. Because we know that through the nation of Israel came Jesus Christ. and Jesus Christ became the Savior of the world. So God made a covenant promise with this man named Abraham. And their faith was tested because, you know, his wife was barren at that time, meaning that she wasn't able to have children. But yet, they still trusted God, and Sarah, his wife, was able to give birth to a son named Isaac. So Abraham believed and had faith in this covenant with God. But then, when it comes to Genesis chapter 22, then God said, okay, let me test that faith, okay? If you really believe in me, if you really trust that I will make you a great nation, and if you believe that I will keep my promise, then why don't you offer your son Isaac on the altar? So Abraham, with great fear, took his son as they walked up that hill. And you can imagine the fear and trepidation that is on his mind. Say, how could God allow me to give up the son that he had given to me? No, even Isaac would ask, hey, father, where is the animal for the sacrifice? And then Abraham was saying, oh, God will be able to provide. No, even as he said this, look, don't dehumanize Abraham. Abraham is a human being, and you can imagine the fear and trepidation that he had as he was trying to obey God. He had to put Isaac, his son, on the altar, on top of the wood. And scripture says that he was bounded on the altar. And just as he was about to sacrifice his son, Isaac, then God sent in the angel of the Lord to stop him and to say that, no, it is because of this his obedience to God that his faith has increased. Look, read from verse 22. You see that faith was active along with his works. So his faith in God, his faith and belief in the covenant promise was active along with the work. The work of obedience, of being willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. And what does it say? Verse 22. And faith was completed by his works. So Abraham's faith, Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his son Isaac showed not only that his faith was real, but it also showed that through his obedience to God, his faith was more mature. His faith was completed. His faith was perfected, as this verse uses. Let's answer our question. What is the relationship between faith and good works? Here's the second point. Good works are the fulfillment or of completed and perfected faith. I'll say that again. Number two, good works are the fulfillment of completed and perfected faith. And as you can see, after this moment with Abraham, after he had experienced this, in the rest of the book of Genesis, you don't see any more episodes of Abraham not trusting in God. Now, prior to this, remember, two times before, he had lied that his wife was actually his sister, so that's like the other kings of other nations wouldn't try to kill him and steal his wife. You know, in those moments, he didn't trust that God will be able to protect him. So you don't see any evidence of this happening with Abraham anymore after this point in time when his faith was perfected, matured, and complete. I'm giving you an illustration. So there one night there was a house that had caught on fire, and a young boy was forced to go on top of the roof. And his father had stood on the ground below, outside of the house, and he had his arms wide open and calling out to his son, "Jump, I'll catch you. Jump, trust me." You know, he knew that the boy had to jump in order for his life to be saved. But on top of the roof, all the boy could see was flames and smokes. And as you can imagine, this boy was very afraid. He didn't want to jump. He didn't want to leave the roof. But the father on the ground kept on saying, "Jump, trust in me, I will catch you." The boy said, "Daddy, I can't see you at all. It's just flames, it's just smoke." But the father replied, "But I can see you, and that's all that it matters." So for us, we need to grow in our faith by trusting in God completely, okay? So sometimes I know that it is very hard to obey God. Sometimes I know it's very hard in certain situations to do the right thing. Oh, you might be saying, you know, serving in church, it just takes up too much of my time. If I serve so much in church, then I won't have time for my family. I won't have time to finish studying. I won't have time to do the things that I have to do at work. You know, it takes a little faith to be able to trust God by serving in church and be able to trust that he'll provide for everything else. Or, oh, if I stop to help out this person in need who had just fell down, then I might miss my bus or something. Or if I give money to someone in need, then I might not have much left for myself and to be able to care for my family. No, these are things that we may think about. These are things that we may go through when our faith is tested by we fail to do these good works. But obedience to God, doing good works in this sense, it's almost like that boy who is on top of that roof and he doesn't want to jump because he can't see anything. He can't see his father. But what does the father says? I can see you, and that's all that matters. So a lot of times, if we serve, if we sacrifice, if we do these good works, then God will be able to provide for us, and we should trust in him in that. And I think oftentimes when you do that, your faith in God will grow. Your faith in God will mature, will become more complete, will become more perfected. And as we see, the same thing happened to Abraham here in this passage. That's why in verse 22 it says, you see that faith was active along with his, this is Abraham's works, and faith was completed by his works. So what is the relationship between faith and good works? Number two again, good works are the fulfillment of completed and perfected faith. Finally, in this passage, I believe that we'll see one more relationship between our faith in Jesus Christ and our good works. So James then moves on and he talks about another example, the example of Rahab, as someone who had evidenced her faith with good works. Read from verse 25. James says, and in the same way, was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Now, for those of you who are familiar with Rahab, now this story was back in Joshua chapter 2. Now, this is after a time when God had brought the Israelites out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, had brought them through the wilderness for 40 years, and then now they have crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land. Now, to scout out the Promised Land, Joshua had sent out two spies from their group to Jericho to look out at the land. And the king of Jericho found out about these spies, and he wanted to capture them. But Rahab, who was a prostitute, who lived in Jericho, took these men in and protected them and hid them and wouldn't release them to the king of Jericho. She did this out of faith. Because if you read Joshua chapter 2, it talks about how Rahab had heard all the stories about the God of Israel and how he had worked great miracles, how he had saved his people, brought them out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And because she heard about these great things, she put her faith in God. And she acted out that faith by protecting the spies that were there. And you have to think about it. This person, Rahab, put her faith in God, and she evidenced it with her works. There's a great difference between Rahab and Abraham. You have to understand, Rahab was female, and at that time, female were seen as very lowly. You know, she was poor, she was a prostitute, she was immoral, she was an outcast of the Canaanite nation. But then on the other hand, if you look at Abraham, Abraham was the father of the Israelites. He was a patriarch. God had made a covenant with him. All the Jews had seen him as the father. So there's a great difference between Abraham and Rahab. So right here, James is using a literary device called merism. So merism is like a figure of speech that uses two contrasting extremes to refer to everything in the entirety between. So basically, James is essentially saying that you have Abraham, and then you have Rahab, and then you may fall into a spectrum anywhere in between, okay? Someone as good, someone as great as Abraham, and someone as lowly and rejected in society like Rahab. But both of these people evidenced their faith in God through their good works. So if you fall within that spectrum, you also can evidence your faith through good works. Let's answer our question again. What is the relationship between faith and good works? Here's the third point. Anyone can be exemplars of saving faith because of their good works. Again, anyone can be exemplars of saving faith because of their good works. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what background you're from. Anyone can come to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, even Rahab did. Anyone can be an example of their faith through their good works. You know, if you have true faith in Jesus, then know that you have the ability to be able to evidence it. You have the ability to be able to show good works about it. You have the ability to overcome sin. You have the ability to serve. Don't think that, oh, I can't overcome the sin. Don't think, oh, I'm too busy. Don't think, oh, this is not for me. Here we see there's evidence that anyone can be exemplars of their faith through good works. Especially as a Christian, we can all do it. So let's review everything that we've learned from this passage. Again, here in James chapter 2, we have asked the main question of what is the relationship between faith and good works? And we said there's three types of relationships. Number one, good works are the resulting evidence of our saving faith. So we don't do good works to be saved. Rather, we do good works because we are saved. Number two, good works are the fulfillment of completed and perfected faith. By doing good works, God is using these things to help us to grow and mature in our faith in Him. And finally, as we talked about, number three, anyone can be exemplars of saving faith because of their good works. So I think after hearing this should give us a lot of hope. We should thank God that we have salvation through faith in Jesus Christ alone and not through our works. And because we have been saved by Jesus Christ, we are called to have good works, to love God and to love others. This is the relationship between faith and good works. So let us all be exemplars of our faith through our works. Would you bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you again. Every time we hear from your word, Lord, we want to be able to respond appropriately. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit is working in our hearts. Maybe some of us, we have our faith in you, but our faith may be dormant right now, maybe sleeping. Lord, I pray that you would awaken our spirit. I pray that you would help us to have the obedience to do good works and to evidence our faith through our actions. Lord, it's only natural if we do so. Lord, help us to overcome any fears that we may have and see how you're using this to help us grow closer to you, to be perfected in our faith. And Father, thank you for showing us that no matter who we are, we can be able to accomplish this. We can believe in Jesus Christ, and we can evidence it with our faith. Father, work in us. Father, show us the right way. And Lord, may we praise you and worship you for what you have done in our lives. Father, we lift up all these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.